昇竜拳波動拳薩摩飛旋風拳。
Welcome everyone to the Anime Express podcast, Sound Insight's official Nintendo podcast from Montreal. I am one of your hosts. I am the editor-in-chief of soundinsight.org. My name is Ricky D. And joining me, as always, also from Montreal, is my fabulous co-host, Mr. Aaron Santos.
Hello.
And today, joining us once again, is special guest and Sound Insight contributor, Mr. Patrick Murphy, returning to the show for the third time, I believe, Patrick.
That is right. Hey, guys.
Tim, unfortunately, cannot join us for this podcast, but he will be back for the next show, which we will be recording on June 16th, the very same day Nintendo has their big E3 digital presentation. So we're excited. Today's show is going to be somewhat of a pre-E3 show. We're going to kick off things with a discussion of the Super Smash video presentation, which streamed live about 50 minutes ago. After which, we have an interview with Jeff Hansen, who is the winner of the 1990 Nintendo World Championship. He won in the 11 under category, and it's an amazing interview. You'll be surprised what he has to say about the event, about the prizes, and so on and so forth. And then we're going to end the show with our review slash discussion of the 2015 Nintendo World Championships, which kicks off in about 2.5 hours. So we are recording this show live Sunday, June 14th, at the start of the E3 2015 massive event. I'm excited. So let's kick things off with Masahiro Sakurai's video presentation of Super Smash Brothers. All right, so Nintendo has big plans for E3 2015, and it all began with this very special video presentation for, I believe, the best fighting game ever made, one of my favorite games of all time, Super Smash Bros. For the Wii U and the Nintendo 3DS. Now, I just want to quickly talk about the leak yesterday. Unfortunately, footage showcasing Ryu from Street Fighter and Roy from the Fire Emblem series, as well as additional information about what was basically announced today on the video presentation. This was all leaked yesterday. The leak was a result of hackers exploiting a Japanese update for the games that went up earlier than expected. So this is somewhat disappointing because, you know, Nintendo had this plan to kick off E3 early Sunday morning with a video presentation of what is one of their most popular games. So what I want to start the discussion with is, and I'll kick it off with you, Patrick, what do you think about video game publications actually promoting this leak? Like, do you think that they are in the right to actually announce the hack? Or do you think that they should have stayed away from it? Because I kind of feel like they spoiled it for me. Because it was like, it wasn't like I had to click in the article to find out what exactly they are talking about. It was like right smack dab.
Right in the headline.
Right in the headline. And I was like so disappointed.
Yeah, I'm with you on the disappointment part. And I like seeing Nintendo surprises or any company surprises presented their way. I think they're obligated to report on it because, you know, they're... A lot of them are journalistic enterprises, and if you don't report in the news, and other people do, you know, you're the one that's left behind. Mm-hmm. So I think I can see why the sites report on it, and they definitely want to get the hits, and so they broadcast the leaks. But I think it's disappointing in general, though, just because you can't get away from it. If you, like you say, if you just happen to visit that site, it's not like you can avoid the leak.
Mm-hmm. Yep, okay, so like last year, for example, Sony was hacked, and a lot of these emails from celebrities and producers and directors and people that worked with Sony or at Sony were leaked online, and there were certain publications who were publishing these leaks, like these emails and news stories and updates, et cetera, et cetera. And there were some publications that decided not to, because right. they felt like they were participating in the crime if they were publishing what was hacked. And I kind of feel like there's like this fine line between reporting on the hack and also on your website embedding the actual video that does officially show Ryu and Roy in the game and images, because these were basically stolen. Mm-hmm. These images and videos were hacked and stolen and then put online. And then you have publications that all of a sudden put it on their website. And I kind of have a problem with that, because it's like you said, they are doing it for the hits.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of feel like this is illegal and you are participating in this illegal behavior.
It's hard to say whether it's illegal or not, because, you know, it was information that was contained in an update that does go out to a system that you purchased. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I mean, you can hack into your Wii U, you can hack into your 3DS or whatever. Is that illegal? I don't, the company doesn't like it, but I'm not sure. It's your property, right? So you can, and if they're sending you this update, they're sending it to you. It's not like you went into their, you know, mainframe and stole it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, I don't know, is that your information since they sent it out to your system? Versus the Sony email thing, those were private emails. They were definitely hacked. That was an internal thing. And I think that's where a lot of people saw that as being morally, for sure, that was sort of morally possibly a gray area to publish the content of those things. Those were private. Versus this is, I don't know if I would call it private or not. Nintendo certainly didn't want it revealed, but they also allowed hackers to get in there by essentially giving them that information.
Yeah. No, I agree with what Patrick said. I mean, it's like it was already in the code of the update, so it's hard to touch on the subject whether it's illegal or not.
Okay, regardless if it's illegal or not, I'm just not happy.
Me either.
I'm not happy knowing that I knew the big news the day before, because like I said, there were rumors that Ryu and Roy were in the game, but they were just rumors. This pretty much confirmed that these characters, along with some stages, et cetera, are actually in the game.
You know what it does is it makes the Direct not nearly as exciting. And they're, as a Nintendo fan, it's always exciting when a new Direct comes out, right? Yeah. And you want to be surprised by stuff. And that just sapped it completely of all its energy. Like, we knew it was coming at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we knew Ryu was going to be announced.
Well, you know what's funny is I was listening to a podcast, and they were talking about E3. And they were talking about how over the years they've become more and more frustrated with Nintendo pretty much blocking off the press. And just like from their point of view, they're like, you know, like, we are press, we head over to E3, we want to promote your product and your games, and you're very closed off to us, you know. And but the thing is, when you see all of these websites who are dedicated specifically to video games and or Nintendo publishing this sort of content, it must really piss off Nintendo. So why would Nintendo return favors to you, the press, who are not in any way doing them any favors? Because I'm sure it's a lot of hard work to put a video presentation together, you know, announce it, have it streamed online at a very specific time. Like, it's a lot of work. And I kind of feel bad for Nintendo and for the people involved in this video presentation, because, I mean, I still think that the video presentation was exciting. Like, I think in the headline I wrote on my news post, I put that despite the early leak, it was still a smashing success.
Yeah.
But still somewhat disappointed. And I just kind of feel like, even if it was hacked, you as a journalist made the decision to write the story and or not write the story. And you could have waited an extra day to write the story properly, like I did. So I guess for me, it's not even a matter of it's not even a question of is it illegal or not. It's just a question is, like, did you really have to spoil it for everyone? And or could you have at least changed your headline?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that would have been nice if they would have said, you know, Nintendo, part of Nintendo Direct possibly leaked, but not, just don't say, oh, Ryu announced his new character right in your headline.
Yeah.
You know, and then you wonder, what kind of relationship does that, do these places have with Nintendo now? Is Nintendo going to sort of, I don't know, shun them a little bit because they're prone to releasing information like this? They can't have liked that everybody did this.
No. But Nintendo already honestly does not give a shit about the press, like these online bloggers, to the point where now they even have a digital event at E3, because they don't really, like, they themselves say, why do we need to go through the press when we can go directly to the fans? Yeah. And that is exactly what they are doing. And that is why I kind of agree with Nintendo's choice to do a digital presentation so the whole world can see it at the very same time. Because why do they need to make the bloggers and video game journalists happy when they do things like this?
The only thing I can think of is they still need the word to get out that they're having a Nintendo Direct. Company alone is not, I don't know if they can get the message out as well as thousands of bloggers and video game websites can.
Yeah, but Nintendo knows that the thousands of bloggers and video game websites are still going to report on Nintendo because, as you said, they want the hits.
Yeah, they, definitely.
Nintendo wants the sales, websites want the hits.
You're right. I mean, I wonder if Nintendo will look into its update policy after this.
Yeah.
I'm sure they will.
All right, so let's just talk about what was announced. So first, Ryu from Street Fighter. How awesome was it to see the character in action, just to know that we can do his classic finishing moves? Mm-hmm. But also, like, they actually explained that if you play him and use the actual controls from the original Street Fighter series, it actually inflicts more damage on your opponent.
Yeah, you know what? That when after watching the Nintendo Nintendo Direct, and then they explain about using the classic way of playing Ryu, I kind of liked it because it gave fans of Street Fighter that advantage. Like, people who grew up playing the Street Fighter games, like, you have a slight edge with him playing in Smash Brothers. I kind of like that one.
I love it because I had more than a slight edge, because no one can beat me as Street Fighter. So.
Yeah, I'm still taking you on that challenge though.
Oh, by entering, dude, by entering the original button combinations, I will be unstoppable in Super Smash. This is my character. This is the character that I personally wanted to see in the game for like the longest time.
Oh, and he looks fantastic. It was one of those things that just brought me back. I wanted to start playing him now. It looked perfect as to how he was doing his moves, and I could never pull off a Shoryuken in Street Fighter 2. It was the hardest move for me to do, so I'm not going to play against you, Rick.
I told this story a while back on the podcast, but I went to the arcade last summer with some of the kids from my day camp, and I went to the arcade downtown Montreal, and they have a classic Street Fighter arcade machine, and I put in like 50 cents, like two quarters, and I was there for like about 2.5-3 hours. Nobody could beat me. So the two quarters alone was enough to keep me going for 2.5-3 hours. This is center downtown where all the hardcore, like, video game arcade freaks go and hang out, and no one can beat me. So, I mean, I might suck at Mario Kart, but when it comes to Street Fighter, I'm pretty awesome. So, what do you think about the price? $5.99 for the character and the stage. $6.99 if you want it for both the 3DS and the Wii U.
I find it fair. I don't know. I think it's a good price.
It's hard for me to say. There's a part of me that thinks, like, okay, maybe they should just be $2 or $3 instead of $6. Because isn't the whole package for $21? And I'm thinking, man, that's almost half a game. And you're not getting half a game out of that.
Well, you are getting a stage. And it's a pretty awesome stage. Like, it's a classic environment. Mm-hmm. And you are getting three legendary characters, which we should also talk about. We're going to be getting Roy from Fire Emblem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he was in the Super Smash Bros. Melee for the GameCube, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, of course, we're going to get Lucas, which was announced a while back.
Right.
And, I mean, just Lucas and Ryu, for my money, I would pay $21 for those two characters. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of hard work to create one of these characters and implement it into a game like Super Smash.
Well, plus
that's very true. I'm not discounting that at all. That's totally true.
Like we're not talking about like a day or days or weeks. We're talking about months.
Well, plus the licensing that has to go through it.
Yeah. Well, Nintendo is really doing good in incorporating the Capcom characters. Like, first it was Mega Man, and now it's Ryu. And so clearly they're trying to keep a very healthy relationship with the company. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if in the future we see more of their characters appear in the Super Smash franchise.
Yeah, they're really pumping that. They've got the Mega Man costumes as well. I believe they had Zero and Mega Man EXE were the two.
Which I will be getting.
You Mega Man nuts.
Yeah. Well, the thing about all of the additional bonus content that was announced today is I'm interested in almost all of it. I'm not really interested in the Splatoon additional content. Like,
Well, you know what? I knew that was going to happen, though.
well, yeah, because they want to promote Splatoon as much as possible. Splatoon actually sold 97% of their units in Japan. 97% of the games were actually sold. It's a huge hit worldwide, especially in Japan.
I believe they were they on the NPD numbers, they were fifth, even though they released for May, even though they released on the 29th.
Oh, wow.
That's really good.
That's amazing. So what else are you excited about here?
The tourney mode that they announced, the two tourney modes that they announced, that has potential to be really, really cool.
Yeah, I think doing like these I mean, like the online tourney is not set to release until August, if I'm correct.
That's right.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's good. I mean, like you can make your own tournaments if I'm correct too, I'm not sure. But and then there's gonna be like also weekly online tournaments. I think it's a good implementation for Smash Bros. I mean, this is something that I think everybody wanted for the longest time too, so.
Well, they announced this like a year ago. It just took forever for them to actually get it done and release it. And that includes the YouTube replays. Like they announced YouTube replays in a tourney mode like way back, like last year. I'm actually really, really interested in the tourney mode. I'm not so much interested in the YouTube replays.
It
I'm very, very
be
interested in
interesting.
it could be, and it might be, and it should be, but I just kind of feel like it's oversaturated, like YouTube with video game content. Like, I mean, if you have like millions of people uploading videos from Super Smash on
That's
YouTube,
true.
it doesn't feel very special after a while.
Yeah.
The Dreamland stage is something I'm very interested in because this is based on the first Dreamland stage from the original Super
Yeah.
Smash game for Nintendo 64.
Yeah, that looks really cool.
And
It just brings.
they almost kept the same te I think they said they kept the same textures too to make it look feel like the old 64 game.
Yeah. It's funny because Ryu or Ryu, however you want to pronounce it, I pronounce it Ryu. Ryu looks unstoppable in this game.
Yeah.
Lucas does not. I mean, I love Earthbound and the Mother 3, and I love these characters, but I don't know. This character doesn't look very powerful.
No, I remember playing. He was in, what? He was in Melee? I think he was in.
He
He was.
was in Melee as well, I believe. Yeah,
Yeah.
or was it?
I can't
Was it
remember.
Brawl or Melee? Now
No,
I'm
he
thinking
was
of
in Brawl. He
Brawl.
was in Brawl. He
Yeah.
was in Brawl.
Okay, so that was the GameCube, right?
That was the Wii.
Oh, that was the Wii? Okay,
Yeah.
yeah. Cause, well, I know I played because I played the GameCube and the Wii versions like in my heydays, I guess. But like, yeah, like Lucas never really controlled that well, in my honest opinion. And he didn't have the best like power moves. So I'm curious. I'm a little curious though, to see how they'll change him in controls in the Wii U version though.
All right, and I guess the last thing we have to talk about before we end our Nintendo Dosage segment here is Amiibo.
Oh
Oh wait, okay, wait. Can I say something? I know I've said I hate Amiibos, but when I saw that Ryu Amiibo, I was kind of like biting my tongue. I'm like, oh, he looks so cool. I don't know. I was like fighting with myself inside. I'm like, if I take the plunge in Amiibos, it probably would be Ryu.
I actually have the action figure for Ryu and Ken, which was released like forever ago. I bought a bunch of action figures for Street Fighter, but yeah, I gotta get myself an Amiibo Ryu. Like, it has to happen. Like, but here's the thing, okay? So I still do not understand why there is such a low shortage in Amiibo figures because I know they are releasing figures like the Wii Fit Trainer and the Villager, etc., etc. They will restock in these figures. I think they said in like September, as late as September, but throughout the summer, we're going to see more of these figures being re-released. But for example, the last wave, which came out in May, which included like Ness, Pac-Man, Wario, etc., etc., Robin, Lucina. Those characters sold out everywhere. So they are clearly aware that there's a shortage of Amiibo, yet they sent out Wave 4 has a shortage. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, in many ways, you know, I've read a lot of stuff on this, and there was a great article on Game Informer that a guy wrote that basically said that, you know, Nintendo doesn't have an amiibo problem, you guys do. It's business-wise, from a business perspective, they're selling out of their stock and they don't have to store anything. I mean, this is almost the perfect situation for them. And if they, you know, if they really ramped up production, the possibility exists that collectors might not be as rabid on day one if they knew that there were more product coming, and they could stay on the shelves a little bit longer, and Nintendo might have to pay for storage for some of these things. I mean, it's a complete win for Nintendo because they're selling out. That's what every company wants, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but Nintendo's been doing this since like the NES days. I mean, we talked about this on like I think our very first podcast with Super Mario Bros. 2. That game was shipped during the Christmas holiday season and was sold out within like a minute, and it was the number one toy to get, and then they re-released it after Christmas time. But because it was short on supply, it was all over the news, everyone was talking about Nintendo, and it actually boosted the sales of the console.
I believe it.
Yeah. So, but I agree. I honestly think the problem is scalpers.
I mean, oh yes.
If you were to eliminate every single one of those scalpers, then yeah, like we wouldn't have a shortage. Like I love it when they say rare amiibo, like rare Pac-Man. It's not rare. There's like millions of amiibo out there. Like, do you understand the definition of the word rare? Like, no, it's just it's called scalpers buying the product because they know we want it, and it's limited, sure, but it's not like they release like five, you know?
Right. Now, let me ask you this, because after the presentation here, I was wondering, what do you think of the Mii amiibo?
Not interested.
Me either.
No.
First of all, they don't look like my Mii.
No.
So why would I want a little plastic figurine that's generic?
Yeah.
Yeah. No clue. It would be cool if the Mii amiibo gave you like a new stage or something, but I'm not going to buy a Mii amiibo just so I can change the costumes in my Mii figure, which I can do either way. Like,
unless I could pre-order one that looks exactly like me, my Mii.
I forget what website it was. It might have been the Nintendo Voice Chat podcast, but someone was talking about this, and they were saying that it would be amazing if you can actually do that. Like, if Nintendo set up something on their website and, you know, you send in a photo of yourself, and somehow they ship you a figure of you, like a Mii amiibo figure of you. And of course, they would show you an image before they actually go ahead and create it. And or you yourself would have the power to go on the website and sort of create the image, and then the actual figure would ship to you. Of course, it might cost a lot of money to do this, but I'm pretty sure people would do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think if you could have a little figurine of the character that you play as in some of these games in Nintendo Land or something like that, oh, yeah, people would do that. But the other three, I just don't see the point of.
I guess the last thing we can quickly talk about is the inclusion of the two characters from Tekken and Virtual Fighter. And so now we have the characters of Akira and Jackie, who we can play with in the game.
And Heihachi, that's from Tekken.
From Tekken, exactly. Yeah. So what do you think about that? Like,
I like it. I mean, and it's cool that you have their exact move list. I mean, like, me growing up as a kid, I was like a big fighting fan. It's like, just like you, Rick, I used to hang out in the arcades playing all these classic fighters. So like, seeing characters like Jackie and Akira from the Virtual Fighter series, I thought it was really cool. And, you know, Heihachi too from Tekken, I was surprised. I was really surprised, to be honest.
Well, I mean, the company that makes Tekken is also the same company that's making the Pokemon fighting game, which is going to get released in arcades in Japan this year, with the hope of it getting released next year on the Wii U console here in North America. So they clearly have a good working relationship with the company Bandai Namco, or is it Namco Bandai?
I thought it was Namco Bandai.
Yeah, I think so. Whatever. Everybody knows who we're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's not a big surprise to see one of those characters included in the Super Smash game, because, like I said, they do want to retain a healthy relationship with these companies. You know, it's funny because people criticize Nintendo for not having a lot of third-party support, and I love Sony, but I look at Sony and I'm like, you have no first-party games. Like, each and every single year, it's like, oh, next year we'll have more first-party games, and I'm like, looking ahead, to their presentation in a few days, and I'm like, what first party games does Sony have?
They even admitted that they weren't going to really have anything at this E3.
Exactly. So they had the complete opposite problem of Nintendo. That is why Nintendo and Sony should just team up somehow.
They almost did.
Make our life easier. We would only have to buy one console. It'll be amazing.
Mm-hmm. If only they hadn't come out with that Nintendo 64. You might have had your dream come true.
Yeah. All right, so that about does it for a Nintendo Dosage segment. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have the main event, and it will be an interview with the 1990 Nintendo World Championship winner, Mr. Jeff Hansen, and then we'll be back afterwards with a review of the 2015 Nintendo World Championship. You're listening to N-Express, the official Nintendo podcast of soundonsite.org.
There's got to be something. Okay. Where's the old front door? Ryu, where are you going?
Ryu, hang a Yui, amigo! You're walking into a trap! Ryu! Get out of there! Ryu!
Live from Universal Studios Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host, Terry Lee Torok.
Woo! Yeah! You ready? Woo! Thank you! I don't get this at home. Welcome to Universal Studios Hollywood. This is the playing field of the future, the unprecedented 1990 Nintendo World Championships. For us, it was a year that began back March 7th, 1990. That was the day when 11 semi-truck trailers unleashed the Nintendo Power Fest upon Dallas, Texas. An incredible moment at that. Traveling coast to coast across the country, from Seattle to Miami, New York to Los Angeles, searching for the best in the business, the top guns of Nintendo. The players you are about to meet today, ladies and gentlemen, are truly the best in the business. They have outsmarted, outscored, and outmaneuvered hundreds of thousands of the top competitors in their field. Well, today I've had the honor to hand all 90 winners their trophy. And today, you're going to see all 90 city champions battling the best with the magic of the mind in 6 minutes, 21 seconds of intense action. And when that smoke clears, 3 world champions will stand tall as the best in the world.
You're back here on the N-Express podcast, and joining us is a very special guest, Mr. Jeff Hansen. And if you do not know who Jeff is, well, I'm about to tell you. Jeff is one of the 3 original winners of the original Nintendo World Championship back in 1990. And Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you were the winner of the 11 under category.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so this is pretty amazing because I was actually Googling the 1990 Nintendo World Championship, and I couldn't really find much coverage of the event. There was like one YouTube video. I was hoping to find some sort of like newspaper article, any kind of info that I can dig up, because I wrote a piece about the actual Nintendo World Championship. So I tried to contact all 3 winners, and unfortunately I didn't have luck with the other 2, but you were nice enough to contact us, and you told us you can come on the show, and we can pick your brain, and you can fill us in on what it was like back in 1990. The current championship is sort of underwhelming. They had the qualifying rounds last week, and one of our writers over at Sound Insight actually headed to the qualifying round in Maple Grove, Minnesota, and it was just underwhelming. It didn't even feel like there was a tournament happening over at Best Buy. So what was it like in 1990? Like, for starters, just entering the competition, like, how was that like?
Well, I mean, I do have to preface this. I was 10 years old, so, and I ate, lived, and breathed Nintendo, so it was amazing. They filled the whole Salt Palace. It's, you know, a huge convention center in Salt Lake City. They had banners up, all these consoles, all these TVs with these Nintendos hooked up. And the best part, I mean, and the original reason why I even went at all was to play the games before they came out. Because mm-hmm. I saw a commercial that said that that's what was going to be happening. I don't remember the exact games, but, you know, I went there and there were just tons of people there, tons of kids. It was tons of fun. And I just happened to find out that they had this competition going on at the same time. And I thought I'd try my hand at it. And I ended up qualifying. You know, to get to the finalists a couple of days later, just for Salt Lake City, and I got third place. But I mean, it was awesome. They had an announcer. I don't know if they had lasers like at all the different 30 cities, but you know, at the final event, it was pretty spectacular. The lights and sound and show that they put on for the actual event.
Okay, so Salt Lake City was the qualifying round, and you came in third place.
Yeah, I got third place in Salt Lake City in 11 and under. So I won a pair of Reebok pumps.
Okay.
And a Game Boy.
I used to have Reebok pumps. That's awesome. And a Game Boy. See, that's an amazing prize right away. And that's only for the qualifying rounds.
Yeah. So I got, you know, that came with Tetris. And I wasn't really an expert at Tetris at all up until that point. So I played a whole bunch of Tetris the following couple of months, not necessarily to practice, but I played it so much that my parents thought, you know, hey, we ought to try our hand at this again. Mm-hmm. And we made it just in time for the very last city on the tour in Tampa. So we flew down to Tampa, which is where I won the qualifying round in order to go to the finals, which were the very next week.
Ah, okay. So you entered a competition technically twice.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, in two different cities.
There's two qualifying rounds?
No. So he entered in Salt Lake City, came in third place. They only take the first place winners of each city.
Oh, okay.
And so he went to Tampa Bay and then won in Tampa Bay.
Okay. Yeah, just Tampa. But yeah, it...
Tampa.
Yeah, so it didn't matter how many times you entered. So you could play as many times as you wanted. And you could... There were people that would go to each city, you know, to try their hand again. So the pressure was especially high, you know, in Tampa, because that was the very last city. And so there were a bunch of people who hadn't, you know, had a chance to qualify in one of the cities, and so there were a lot more people there that were trying to win a city. And so luckily I won that one.
Okay, so now when you actually competed, was it Dr. Mario, Rad Racer, and Super Mario?
No, it was a completely different cartridge. It was the Nintendo World Championship 1990 cartridge.
Right.
And it was Super Mario Brothers. You get 50 coins in that, then it bumps you over to Rad Racer, where you play a couple of laps, and then you play Tetris for the rest of the time for 6 minutes, 21 seconds. So it's the same time limit, and Super Mario Brothers is pretty much exactly the same, but yeah, the last two are different.
Totally so, different. So did you walk away with a cartridge?
Yeah, I mean, all of the finalists, you know, we went to dinner like before the finals, the night before, and we were kind of petitioning Nintendo to, you know, we were asking them what they were going to do with those cartridges. I mean, they're probably just going to throw them away. So we were like, hey, why don't you just give those to us, and so we can keep them as a keepsake. And so all the finalists ended up getting one. I mean, some of them got I know there were a few gold ones, but I've never actually seen one of those.
Did you still keep your cartridge?
Yeah, I have a cartridge.
Okay.
It still works.
It's wow.
Nice.
That's amazing. Well, the gold one was given by Nintendo Power to readers.
Yeah.
So you have the gray one, correct?
Yeah, I have a gray one.
Oh, that's amazing. So you won, when you won in Tampa, you won a pair of Reebok pumps and a Tetris.
I think actually I had it the other way. So the pumps, you won by winning a city.
Okay.
I believe. And then the Game Boy, I think it was like second through seventh place. All those people got Game Boys at each of the cities. So they gave away a ton of Game Boys.
It's a lot of Game Boys.
It's because, okay, we just had Patrick Murphy, who's one of our writers on the podcast, I think it was last week.
Yeah.
And so he went to Best Buy last week to enter the competition, and they gave him like stickers.
Yeah.
like no joke. That's all.
Well, did he? What place did he get?
Well, he didn't, but even, like, from my understanding is even, well, I mean, maybe we don't know, maybe they're just not saying, but I was just told that they didn't even give out a prize. It was just kind of like...
I have no idea. I mean, I can tell, they haven't announced what they're going to give to the champion at the final competition. So
yeah, I know.
I'm not sure.
It's really, I don't know. I still find it shocking, like how messed up this world championship is this year, when you compare it to like other esports that's going on presently.
Unfortunately, they didn't come to Salt Lake City, so they kind of did the same thing in '94 for the Power Fest then.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. I was going to go and play, but we missed it because they didn't come to Salt Lake City.
Someone told me that you and the person who won first place in the 18+ and the person who won first place in the teen category all competed later on in Tetris. Is this true?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't just Tetris. It was the actual cartridge, the championship cartridge. So we did play afterwards. And Thor was the 12 to 17. He won that. I got second there. I think... You know, it was like my score is like 2.7 million and Thor's was 2.8. He was, in general, he was definitely better than I was. He would consistently get higher scores. So and then Rob came in third.
Yeah. And he went on to become the world record holder for Tetris. I mean, he was even featured in a documentary recently. And then Robert Whiteman was the winner of the 18+ category. So do you keep in touch with either Thor or Robert?
No, I unfortunately haven't at all.
Okay, so big event, lights, stage, like how many thousands of people do you think were present at the actual finals?
That's the funny thing is I think in the original championship, it was a Star Trek theater in Universal Studios Hollywood, which is not a very big theater.
Mm-hmm.
I would say there were maybe 500 people, so it wasn't a huge audience, but they sure put on a cool show. I mean, smoke and
big
lasers.
Screens.
And they had a guy from MTV, one of the guys that did the music on MTV. He was the person in charge of the music.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So was this sort of like what we see in The Wizard, the movie?
I just watched The Wizard a few weeks ago, and I think it was actually cooler than The Wizard.
Oh, really?
I mean, of course, I was there, so it's a little bit different.
It's hard to see the stage.
I mean, we have some video. I have home videos, and we have a bunch of. You should have asked me earlier. I have tons of resources that I can share with you.
Okay, so we normally ask our guests five questions, and normally we do it at the start of the segment, but I'm going to do it now. So, question number one: what is your favorite video game of all time?
So I was preparing for this. I think it's it's been Metroid Prime 3 for quite a while. I think just the whole Metroid Prime series is probably the best series ever.
Yeah, and I'm hoping for a Metroid announcement this year at E3 because next year is the 30-year anniversary of Metroid, so I think we're going to get it.
And yeah, I can't wait for it because Other M was it was kind of a downer to me. So
yeah, for most
excited
people.
For something more
for
like
a lot
Metroid
of, for
Prime.
A lot of people it was, yeah.
So growing up, were you a Nintendo kid, a Sega kid? Did you just like play with every console you can get your hands on? Because I remember when I was younger, there was always like a war between my friends and I over who liked Sega, and Nintendo, and eventually it was Sony that came into the picture.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been loyal to Nintendo. I always called it the Sega Genesis. We called it the Sucka Genesucks.
no.
Lame, but yeah, I mean, definitely loyal to Nintendo. I never got an Xbox. I did eventually get a PS2, but that was just for DDR. So I am an addict to DDR as well. In fact, so much that I made my own pad because they keep breaking.
Oh, really?
So I made one out of wood and plexiglass and everything.
Oh, that's cool.
So what is your favorite console of all time?
I mean, probably just based on the hours I put in. I mean, I would say the GameCube and probably Super Smash Brothers on there.
Hmm.
In college, that kind of we would burn the midnight oil every night playing that.
Yeah, I think GameCube is winning because every time we ask a guest what their favorite console is, it's either GameCube or Super NES, but most people say GameCube so far. I think it's the best console. I don't know if it's my favorite, but I think it's the best. Okay, and so I'm assuming you still play video games?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when I was practicing to go to Japan and everything to play against the Japanese champion, I was playing like up to 8 hours a day, and my mom would, you know, make me play 8 hours a day.
Okay.
And that's okay. But
I
play sometimes. I play with my kids, especially when a new game comes out. You know, when The Last Zelda came out, you know, that's pretty much all I did for a few weeks. And a lot of times, you know, my kids would watch me play. It's fun.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, how's the what's your method of preparation like for a tournament?
I mean, back then, I would print out spreadsheets and just pages and pages of attempts, and I would just write down my score every single. I write down the time that it took to get through everything, and then my final score. And eventually, I got so I could just, you know, nail it every single time.
Yeah. Have you entered any other tournaments after the Nintendo World Championships, actually?
No. In 92, I don't know if you know this, but I went to Japan and I played against the Japanese champion. And I won against him. And then he hadn't really had much time to play the game. Like, I had the cartridge for several weeks before we played against each other, and he hadn't played it at all. So that kind of wasn't really fair in 92. But so we had a rematch in 93. Okay. But I won again then. But yeah, since then, so Nintendo took me around to promote their games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I promoted NCAA basketball. I would go to a bunch of different malls back east, and I'd play against famous college basketball stars. Like, I played against Rasheed Wallace.
Huh.
He came in with a controller around his neck. He was all prepped up to beat me. But...
Yeah.
I toured the country. They took me on an Amtrak train to play the first Zelda for Game Boy, and a bunch of other things. Star Fox. They had an event where they flew in one of the senators for Utah, Jake Garn, came in, and he skydove into the event, and that's where they announced Star Fox. So I was there for that too. But yeah, other than that, no other competitions. There was like a little, they had like a little celebrity competition at the 94 Power Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And I participated in that, and I won that, and was able to donate the winner of that donated a Nintendo Fun Center to a hospital.
Okay.
So I donated that to Primary Children's here in Utah.
Well, that's cool.
That's amazing. And just to play video games with basketball stars, like, I'm actually watching a basketball game in the background. Well, I had to turn it off. As we speak, I'm a huge fan of basketball. That's just like, so your kids must be like amazed. Like if they play video games and love Nintendo, I mean, it must be amazing to tell your friends that, hey, my dad won the Nintendo World Championships back in 1990, especially now that they are bringing it back 25 years later.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing too, is like, you know, this is the 25th anniversary. My daughter's 10 years old, so she's the same age that I was when I won. So it's kind of fun.
Have they ever talked about like attempting, like you did, to play competitively in video games?
No.
Are you trying not to encourage it, or?
No, it's, you know, if they're interested in it, we'll definitely support anything that they're interested in, but they haven't shown any interest in competitively playing.
Did you meet any famous like game developers or like, you know, the video game designers from Nintendo?
Yeah. So when I went to Japan, after the competition, they bullet trained us down to Kyoto, which is the Nintendo World headquarters, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to meet Shigeru Miyamoto.
Oh, that's cool.
He showed me his cubicle and showed me, you know, a bunch of his work that he was working on, just real vague, just real quick. But and then I also we went in with him and then Koji Kondo. And Koji Kondo played a few songs, you know, Mario songs from Super Mario World.
Oh.
And so that was pretty awesome.
You must have been freaking out though. I don't know how I would react if I saw Shigeru Miyamoto.
So was this when you were 10?
This was when I was 12.
12.
Yeah,
so a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, you know, I still didn't know all that was going on. Mm-hmm. I was pretty young, but I mean, in my world, it was pretty much the ultimate thing that could ever happen.
Yeah, like I couldn't just imagine. I mean, a 10, 12-year-old, and you love Nintendo so much, and all of a sudden you're like just put into the world of Nintendo. I mean, it's got to be an amazing experience.
I can't even imagine what it would be like to go to Japan and to the Nintendo headquarters.
Yeah.
That would be incredible. So had the competition this year been somewhere nearby, would you have entered?
I might have. I just don't have as much time as I used to, unfortunately. Right. I have five kids and and a wife, and I don't know. It's unfortunately not at the top of my priorities, but I do love to play still. It's still, you know, I'm definitely a loyal Nintendo fan, and I love to play when the new ones come out. I go get them.
Do you follow any of the tournaments that happens in anywhere in the video game world?
Like, I mean, other than Nintendo ones, or?
Well, yeah, other than Nintendo, like, I'm just curious, like, to know, like, if you still follow, like, maybe esports or something.
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
So you currently have a Wii U, I assume, and a 3DS?
I do have a Wii U. I haven't picked up a 3DS yet. My brother keeps telling me I really need to get one, and I'm this close, but I haven't done it yet.
Okay. You see, because the thing is, this year, they're using a 3DS for the competitions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. All right, is there any crazy stories you can maybe share with our listeners and us before we head off? I'm just trying to picture you, a 10-year-old, at a dinner negotiating with Nintendo and being like, hey, why don't you give us the cartridge? It's just like, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. I mean, there are just so many fun experiences with Nintendo. They drove us around in limos, you know, half a dozen times. It was like, I mean, I was a superstar for a few years. It was really surreal. The restaurants that they took us to, you know, in Japan especially. I mean, some of the places we went to were just amazing, and you know, very expensive. And after the trip to Kyoto, we asked Nintendo if we could stay a few more days, and so we stayed in Tokyo. And I just really grew to love the Japanese people, and you know, so much that I wanted to go back. I was like bawling when I came home from Japan after the competition, because I wanted to stay there.
Yeah.
So somehow, you know, I was able to actually I served as an LDS missionary when I turned 19. I was actually able to go back to the Tokyo North Mission and serve as a missionary for a couple of years.
So, well, thank you so much. I don't really, because it's weird, because I do not know what to ask, because, you know, I wasn't at the championships. I have no idea what it's like. Like, I'm trying to envision it in my head. And it's just I'm so glad that you've told us that it was even better than what we saw in a movie like The Wizard. Because, I mean, The Wizard came out before the Nintendo World Championships, and it was somewhat of an inspiration for Nintendo to do this. I'm actually surprised they never continued the Nintendo World Championship. So it's amazing to bring it back like 25 years later.
Yeah, I know that it was very expensive. I mean, they sunk a lot of money into it. And so I just wonder if, you know, they figured it didn't eventually get dividends from it. But I think it's a ton of fun. I mean, it's a great way to get together and with other people that like Nintendo and just have a fun time.
Right. And so how long was Nintendo sort of, you know, spoiling you with these riches? Like, was it for the 2 years up until you were 12? Was it like later on? Because, I mean, you won in 10, and you're telling me that you won the tournament in Japan when you were 12. Did Nintendo invite you, or did you just enter?
No, so they called us up in September of 92, about a month before we were going to go. And they said, you know, do you want to play against the Japanese champion? And we're like, yeah, that would be awesome. So we just started getting ready to go to Japan after they had asked us. I think they wanted, you know, because the Super Mario Club in Japan is geared more towards younger kids. And so I think they wanted somebody that was a little bit younger, that would be more the same age as all of their viewers over there.
All right.
I don't know if you've looked up, but you can look up on YouTube Super Mario Club in Japan. And they, I don't know when the last time they did competitions, but they actually had several competitions, not just this one in 92.
Okay. Yeah. And so, is it true that you also appeared on talk shows like at MTV and?
Yeah, so I did go on the Home Show, and I met Lynn Swan on there, and I also, let's see, in CES one time, they had Sugar Ray Leonard come. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go on the Late Show with David Letterman, and they said it was because I was bumped by Chuck Heston. So,
oh wow,
he was probably a lot more fun to talk to. I don't know. At 10, it was like pulling teeth to get me to say, you know, get more than a yes or no answer. So that's okay, but it would have been fun. But yeah, I was on the news a lot, interviewed with a lot of people. It was really fun.
See, that's amazing. You should find time to post up an article or you know, if you have archive footage, put it online, because I honestly, like, I know I'm not alone. Like, a lot of people are looking for footage. I know Thor. Thor, he started his own website, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, he and Robert are both contributors to the website. But he dropped out of the gaming scene for like years, like at least 10 years, if not more. Later on, he returned to gaming, and from my understanding, that's when he got the world record for Tetris. I think he like has 999,999 points on Tetris. You can't actually get any more points.
Yeah, he's amazing. I was able to do that on the Game Boy Color on Tetris, is it DX or something?
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago though, and it's a little bit different because I think it's easier on the Game Boy because it slows it down when you move the pieces.
Right. So you can actually get a perfect score.
On the Game Boy, I did. Yes, I have a picture of it somewhere.
Oh wow, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully on Sunday it'll be just as exciting. At least it'll be broadcast live, streamed on the internet. So are you going to be watching?
Yeah, I'll definitely watch it.
Amazing. All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. Are you by any chance, like, do you have a presence on the internet or?
I mean, I own the domain jeffhanson.com. There's not a whole lot there though. I'm not really a whole lot into social media, other than checking it. I'm a read-only user.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I just.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff Hansen, the Nintendo World Champion of the 11 under category from the original Nintendo World Championships back in 1990. This is the N-Express podcast. We'll be right back.
Eric, what are we going to do? How are we going to explain this tournament to everybody?
That's the thing. We have to keep it a secret. It's the whole concept.
A secret? I mean, don't people need to know how the tournament's going to work?
Well, okay, maybe they need any of that. So we'll tell them that there are 8 games in the tournament and that it's going to span some old school games and some current games, but that is it.
We're going to at least tell them what games are in it, right?
No, Bill. That has to be a secret.
So no one is even going to know that the Nintendo World Championships of 2015 is going to be the first place that Splatoon has ever played in a tournament setting?
No.
Well, what about the host? Can't we announce the host? Oh, I got it. That's a secret too.
Actually, not a secret at all. It's Kevin Pereira.
Oh, yeah. That guy's pretty funny. Okay. Anything else we need to announce?
Yeah.
What?
The players.
The players.
Welcome back, everyone, to the N-Express podcast. And we are live recording after the 2015 Nintendo World Championships. And oh, my God, guys. Dudes, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I got to say, It was exciting.
It was.
I was on the edge of the seat a couple of times. Those guys are amazing game players.
John Numbers is godly, sir. I mean, oh my God. I couldn't believe it. Me and my wife were watching and we're just screaming on the couch. We're like, I don't know. It was just, we're going crazy.
The end of that, the last competition was really, really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the thing though. I am so excited for Mario Maker. Like, holy shit. Yeah. Dude, okay, you don't understand. There's so much going on right now. There is Women's World Cup. There is Under 20 Men's World Cup. There's the NBA Finals. There's a WWE pay-per-view event. There's the Nintendo World Championships. My cousin's in from Alberta. There's just so many things going on. We have, like, 5 screens. And despite the fact that we have 5 screens and watching, like, 5 or 6 different events, I couldn't take my eyes off of the Nintendo World Championship, specifically the final stage in which they had to compete in Mario Maker. It was incredible. It was brilliant. It's everything I wanted in this game. I mean, this is what people have been asking for years. You see all these guys create mods and put them on YouTube, and you're just like, I wish I could play these games. And now not only can you play the games, but you can make one of these amazing, crazy, impossible, or nearly impossible levels to complete. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Nintendo is already rocking E3, and technically E3 only begins in about 45 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, it showcased just some amazing things that you could do with Mario Maker, and how you could make levels that are so crazy and beyond what I've imagined could happen.
And the levels were getting crazier, because I thought the first level, well, especially like when John Numbers did it, I was, because who was the other guy? It was Cosmo,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, he was having trouble in the first level, but then you see John Numbers just, like, just totally ripping through that stage. You couldn't believe it.
Oh, and when you saw the waves of the little fire, you know, stick, that was my first hint that, things are going crazy right about now.
Mm-hmm.
The gigantic enemies that were, you know, the old 8-bit squids and stuff, it's fantastic.
So what was your highlight of the event? Was it the Mario Maker? Is there anything else that you want to quickly mention, spotlight, highlight, something you really want to talk about?
I have to say it's the Mario Maker.
Yeah, that ended up being the highlight for me. Yeah. I wasn't sure that was – when they announced it was Mario Maker, I thought, okay, I mean, this might be pretty cool. It ended up being the best competition, I think, of all the games. And there were several that were very good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like the Smash Bros. was a good event too. I think like second highlight would be the Smash Bros, especially like watching Reggie against last year's runner-up Hungry Box.
That was funny. Was a total demolition right there.
he was completely taunting him the entire match.
I know, it was just mockery.
Yes.
Now something really interesting happened during the Mario Maker tournament mode. They actually renamed the game. The game has been renamed to Super Mario Maker.
Really? Oh, you're kidding. That happened?
Yeah.
I missed that one.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and now it's listed as Super Mario Maker playable at Best Buy this week.
Huh. Interesting. I guess that makes sense. I mean, all those games start with Super Mario. It's not like you can do anything from Mario Brothers. So it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It's just so weird that they decide to rename the game
last minute
before E3 starts during the Nintendo World Championship. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about Blast Ball for a minute?
Yeah.
Yes. New game.
A little underwhelming.
You know, I have a feeling that Blast Ball is going to be some sort of downloadable, you know, it doesn't look like a fully fledged game to me. It looks like something you download for $10 maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's what, Metroid meets soccer?
It's Metroid Prime.
Yeah.
Metroid meets soccer. The first-person multiplayer game showed off at a 3-versus-3 match where each player hops into a mech suit and trying to score into their opponent's goal.
By shooting the ball?
It was a natural pairing of Metroid and soccer. People have been talking about that for years.
Which goes back to my Nintendo E3 2015 predictions. I'm sort of on the ball with each and every single one of my predictions. Like, I predicted some sort of weird soccer game. I was thinking of something like the soccer Mario game we had for the Wii. What was it called? Strikers?
Yeah, Mario Strikers.
Yeah.
Right. And so now we have, well, it's not a Mario soccer game, but it is this weird hybrid of like a classic beloved Nintendo game, in this case Metroid meets soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Plus I also called an Earthbound game getting released, and sure enough we have Earthbound Beginnings, which just snuck in, like it just snuck in the announcement right before the Nintendo World Championship, if you just so happened to be on the channel right before it started, which blew my mind. Yeah. Apparently, according to my nephew, I was screaming so loud he heard me from down the street. I'm not kidding. I was that excited.
Oh, man. I can't believe it.
Yeah, and it's out today.
It's out right now. You can get it right now.
It's out right now. I've also been playing Super Smash all day long or all afternoon long with my nephews from Alberta and my nephews. With my cousins from Alberta and my nephews. I've been playing with Ryu, Roy, Lucas. I'm not too hot on Lucas, but let me tell you, man. Ryu, holy cow. He's like powerful.
So he plays just like you would in the arcades, right?
The funny thing is, I was trying to explain to my nephew, I was like, no, it works the exact same way it did back in Street Fighter 2, the classic Street Fighter arcade game. And he's like, no. He's like, if you want to do the Hadouken, for example, you just press B. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. If you do it the classic way, it makes it a lot stronger. It makes the attack a lot more powerful and stronger. And so that is what I was doing the whole entire time playing Super Smash. I'm just like, I mean, E3 hasn't even begun technically, and I'm already ecstatic. I'm so hyper. I'm so happy. It's just today alone, we have a bundle of DLC release for Super Smash. We have Earthbound Beginnings release for the Wii U. We have the Nintendo World Championships, which was so exciting to watch. It has me so excited for Super Mario Maker. We have this new game called Blast Ball, which I admit I'm not excited for, but I'm interested in it no less.
It makes me excited that they were willing to drop a new property on the Nintendo World Championships. Now I wonder, what do they have in store for the Direct tomorrow?
On Tuesday. It was kind of predicted, though, that we were going to see like maybe a new title for the championship. I mean, like, I guess they want to do something like The Wizard, right? Like, give them something that they've never played before.
Sure. But you know they're not going to take their biggest game and do that. So we're bound to get something really cool.
Well, we were all chatting during the thing. Like, I predicted I was going to see Star Fox at the end, but that didn't go through, so.
No. That would have been very cool, but the way it ended up was just fine. I mean, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's no way that they are going to release anything big prior to the big digital event on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not surprised that they would release like a small independent game that nobody knows about for 3DS. Mm-hmm. But you know, you're not going to see sort of like a Metroid being announced, and or Star Fox, and or even Mega Man. And you know, I mean, we're 2 days away, and I swear to God, I'm pretty sure we're going to have a Metroid game announced, if not two. I predicted two, and I'm saying this because next year is the 30-year anniversary of the Metroid series. In fact, the Mega Man 30-year anniversary is also fast approaching, so I wouldn't be surprised if we get some sort of like new Mega Man game. I mean, they just announced that they're releasing the first six Mega Man games on the 3DS with bonus content, high definition, all remastered. So you never know.
Yeah,
that's right. You know, I think you're dead on with the Metroid thing. All signs are pointing to this is when they're going to say something. We might not get to see the game in action, but they're going to announce it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's all about late 2015 game releases. Like, they're going to show a lot of game footage, a lot of gameplay. If you're at E3, you will be able to most likely play games like Mario Maker and Star Fox and Yoshi's Woolly World, etc. But they will show footage and trailers for upcoming games to be released in 2016, for example Metroid. A lot of people still think that they will release some sort of like footage and or trailer for Zelda. We shall see. I think it all depends if that game actually is released for the Wii U and or if they hold it for the next console. But then again, I still think the next console is still at least 2 years, if not more, away from release.
So. Yeah, I agree. I don't see it being here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so all in all, a great start for Nintendo. I love the Nintendo World Championship. It started off, I wouldn't say a bit slow, but I was a little disappointed that they kicked off with Splatoon.
I didn't mind.
Were you really? I liked it. I thought that was a good way to promote a brand, you know, a new game that had just come out. I thought that was good.
I think maybe it was a mistake, maybe I'm just wrong here, but I just kind of felt like Splatoon would have been the fifth game that they would play. I mean, you know, on our last podcast, I was a little disappointed. I was saying like, well, I don't know if we're going to get something like Mario Kart 8 and or Super Smash in a Nintendo World Championship, and thankfully we did, because the other highlight for me was watching these eight players race in 200cc mode and then watching the four players fight in Super Smash.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely
to me that was exciting. That was almost as exciting as the Mario Maker. I'm just really happy that the Nintendo World Championship was, in my opinion, a giant success, and I'm looking forward to Tuesday.
I mean, like, we were all very worried going into the Nintendo World Championships. I mean, like, the way they set up based on the qualifiers, we were all like really skeptical on how it was going to turn out. But it turned out really, really good.
Yeah, well, if you haven't listened to our previous podcast with Patrick on the show, Patrick actually went to the qualifying rounds in Minnesota, and if you listen to the podcast, you would realize why we were worried, because it was very underwhelming and a complete disappointment. But thankfully, the actual finals, the Nintendo World Championships that happened today, was not a disappointment. One quick news, I hate to end on Amiibo news, but it was just leaked that there will be officially an 8-bit Mario Amiibo released. I'm assuming it's going to be released with Mario Maker and or for Super Mario Maker. Mm-hmm. Also, for Amiibo for guess which game?
Oh, wait a second. I knew this. I saw this. Which one was it?
For the four new Amiibos that they've announced?
Accidentally, it was released. And this is sort of like Nintendo's fault.
Yeah, they put an image of it in one of their, in the broadcast, right? Or in some ad?
It was in an ad. It was Nintendo Spain.
I remember what game. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So they accidentally revealed four Amiibo for Animal Crossing.
Yep.
So it looks like we're going to get KK Slider, Tom Nook, of course, Isabelle, and Mabel, which I'm excited for, and I'm also looking at my wallet.
I'm thinking, oh my god, they could do almost the entire Animal Crossing. Every character from that game could get an Amiibo at some point.
You know what, Nintendo, do you want my bank account?
Oh man, that 8-bit Mario looks pretty cool, though. I have to admit.
Yeah. It looks amazing. All right, so that's it. Super Mario Maker looks amazing. Nintendo World Championship was a giant success. We got a peek at a new game. We have more proof that there is a possibility to see a new Metroid game come Tuesday, and a whole new line of Amiibo. So I guess we'll end our podcast here, and we'll be back again on Tuesday recording yet one more show live covering the Nintendo Digital event, and we'll be recording a bonus show later in the week covering E3 in general, discussing what we think will be our most anticipated games of the year. Not just in terms of Nintendo, but just games overall. Mm-hmm. So we have one more bonus podcast coming up. I'm really excited. Patrick, where can we find your work online?
You can find me writing the game section at Sound On Sight, and you can find me on another site called PorcupineSunday.com and on Twitter at PS_Porcupine. Yeah, I know it sounds weird, but there it is.
All right, and Aaron, where can we find you online?
You can find me hosting a PC gaming podcast called the FTW Gaming Podcast, and just check it out on iTunes.
All right, and you can find me over at soundonsight.org. That's site, SIGHT, of course, on Twitter, Sound On Sight. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, follow us on Tumblr. If you like our show, spread the word, share our articles via Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, you name it. Give us a rating on iTunes, and thank you for listening.
chance of handling your new 12-inch long playing records, and I would like to see you again in your office early next week.